Hello everyone, welcome to the pinken.com Norwich City podcast. Yes, we're back again. We're on a roll, Pete. Does that put a smile on your face?
Is it three in a week now, isn't it?
I tell you what, I couldn't believe how long it had been since we'd done one before last week. So apology, I feel like I should keep apologising. But we'll get over it now because we've got Norwich City's 3-1 win over Burton to talk about. Sports desk Peter Raven is here. My name is Michael Bailey and we've got David Powell's here. David, did we count you as a Norwich or a Burton fan over the weekend?
You definitely count me as a Norwich fan, Michael. I was after a Norwich victory, but perhaps a smaller margin and more goals. So I wanted 4-3 to Norwich.
And we should point out, of course, because you've been, you know, wrung dry, basically, of all your words and opinions over the last few days.
Yeah, I do feel a bit like, you know, one of those pop stars who's done one good song and then that's kind of they trade off it for the next 60 years. I feel like I've got one interesting angle to my Norwich City supporting and I'm going to trade off it, and I've still got another mustard to go this afternoon, Michael. So there's life in the old dog yet.
Brilliant. So, of course, your wife is a Burton fan and you were in, lived in Burton?
We met in Burton many, many years ago, so I count those them as my second team. My wife is a Burton fan and counts Norwich as her second team, probably the only person in the country, in the world, to have had a season ticket for both. So I can't believe there are many out there who would argue that. So,
and you said, you mentioned just before we started that Kim wasn't sure whether she would be a Norwich or a Burton fan when she got into the ground on Saturday.
Yeah, she wasn't. It was funny. She didn't quite know how she was going to react. So it was sort of mixed feelings. She was sat amongst the Norwich fans and it was fairly clear straight away that she was rooting for Burton. When Norwich scored, she had a right old face on her. to sound proper Norfolk there, don't I? Right old face on her. And sort of had to sit on her hands when Burton scored. And which obviously that joy didn't last very long, given that we went and scored right up the other end. So it was quite clear that I kept saying to her, you know, come on, you know, you're not a loser at all, because you know you're a Norwich fan as well, but didn't go down well at all. So clearly she was pretty gutted to see Burton lose.
Well, at least we know where her priorities lie from here on in. I guess when you guys were in Burton, you never really expected this match to even be taking place, did you?
No, there were seven leagues. Norwich were in the Premier League. Northern Premier League Burton were in. We just never imagined that they'd ever come up against each other in a league match, that's for sure.
And just to clarify this for me, this is all, their rise is incredible and it's basically organic. It's come from good management. There's nothing, it's not like a Bournemouth where they've got, you know, big owners and massive money behind them.
The chairman's a guy called Ben Robinson, who's been there for probably nearly 20 years now. He's a brilliant bloke. He ran a small firm in the town, insurance firm, and just a kind of good guy in the town. They were in financial problems. He took over. And what really stood them in good stead was they played Manchester United in the FA Cup third round, drew with them, went to Old Trafford, made about £1 million out of that, and that really set them up. They already had plans at that point to go into a new stadium, but it was that game that kind of stopped them having to go into debt. From that point on, he's just a fantastic chairman. Until this summer, they'd only spent £10,000 as their highest wage fee, which they've now smashed from going into the Championship. But to go up the leagues and that's still your highest transfer fee, that shows. And he picks a good manager. They've had some great managers. Cluffy was obviously there. He was there for 10 years and every year they improved with him. Then they had Paul Pesci-Salido, who Norwich fans will remember. He sort of stabilised them. Gary Rowett, now at Birmingham, did a brilliant job there. And then Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank took them up to another level, struggling at QPR, but he was superb for Burton. Clough's back there. Everyone expected that they might go sort of downwards under Clough. A lot of the Burton fans, oh, don't go back and all that sort of stuff. But then he took them up, so.
Remarkable stuff. A non-league side up until 2009. And just organic. I think it's just incredible. And they caused Norwich a few problems, I thought. I thought they worked really hard, which is a given. They had a little bit of nous, I think, left over from having to fight their way through the leagues, I thought, and sometimes that caught Norwich out, certainly caught a few of their ankles out, but it caught them out at times. And probably with a little bit more quality up front, they could have actually caused some proper damage to Norwich.
Yeah, I think most fans were expecting Burton to turn up, park the bus, 18 behind the ball, but they're flowing football, wasn't it? Attacking football, like you say, a quality striker, and then they're a sort of top half table team, aren't they? It's just that final product wasn't really there. It was only through a combination of our defence gifting them a goal that they scored. But I think they'll be all right this season.
Yeah, that was the thing, because when Norwich scored, normally you'd think, well, that will bring the opposition out. But you couldn't have said that, because actually a lot of the time Burton were committing a lot of bodies forward, obviously played really well in terms of set pieces too and caused problems.
Bizarrely, they've made their built the success on the back of 1-0 victories and playing five at the back. When they got promoted, Cluffy said, "I can't play like that in the Championship. We'll get absolutely battered. We have to go toe-to-toe with teams." So I thought that was really interesting. You're right that they were playing attacking, flowing football. And there was a chance in the second half where Stuart Bevan went through. McGovern lost his head momentarily, missed the ball. They should have scored. They really should have scored. And that really would have made it quite interesting.
Yeah, that, and had it have been 1-1 for a little bit longer, I think. Anyway, that's enough Burton talk. This is the Norwich City podcast. It'll be interesting to see how they get on for the rest of the season. You know, the first competitive meeting between the two sides. So it was a red letter day. And I suppose it was for Norwich, because they're top of the league now. Pete, 5 wins out of 5 in all competitions, 4 in the league. We all know what's coming up this week, of course. Epic stuff. We're flying. Everything's great.
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought that afterwards in the pub. A lot of fans seemed a bit downcast. It's like, I can't moan because we're top of the league. But the last 3 home games, especially Wigan and Cardiff, there's been 6 points from those 2 games, but the performance wasn't there. You look at who we've played, I think it's 5 or 6 of our games that they're in the bottom half. It's only Birmingham top 6 where, well, we don't talk about Birmingham, do we, anymore. So it's, you can't moan, but you just, there's a niggling thing. It's like, when we come up against the better teams, is that going to be a problem? Because we haven't played, and I think Alex Neil's admitted it, they haven't played to their potential. It's, especially with the Cardiff game that should have been killed off 4-0 at half time. It's just putting teams away, and there's just a struggle of how we've got to the top, but we're top. So, I think happy days.
People can't decide whether it's a good thing that we're playing badly and winning, or does that therefore mean that suddenly we're going to play really well and win even more, or if it's a bad thing. People can't work it out, can they? I've actually felt we played really well on Saturday. I think that, are people just overanalyzing this a little bit too much? We've not always played at the top of our game, but we're doing enough to win, and that's all you can ask. And the Championship is very much like this. You know, there's not much to call between teams near the bottom and teams near the top. There's 15 teams in this Championship. Probably all the fans think that they should be winning every week and going for those top 2 places. So I think we're just in danger of being a bit overly negative. And as long as we keep winning, then I'll be happy.
I think you do have to strip it down to the fact that they've got more points than anyone else in the division at this stage. And you look at Newcastle, who have tripped up in the odd game, or if they haven't played well, they've drawn, or if they have played well, they've still conceded a goal and can drop points. Aston Villa, who have 1 win out of their opening 9 games. Norwich do have tougher tests on the way, though, and of course we're only going to have to wait a few days really for those to start ramping up. And it's the Nottingham Forest game for me. That was a game where they were playing better opposition away from home, and they did manage to raise their level and take all 3 points. So very, very interesting week ahead. Let's dissect the key moments, shall we, from Saturday's game. Norwich took the lead. Martin Olsen, great finish, although he did have about 8 seconds in the box and sort of knocked it around to himself before he finished. Yeah,
it's really interesting. It's about 5 minutes beforehand, one of the people I was with made the point that they felt that Norwich had been overplaying a lot this season and passing a bit too much when they should just be opening their legs up and shooting. And it looked like Volson, didn't it? It looked like he literally looked around to try and do anything but shoot. And I was like, oh God, I'm just going to have to shoot and see what happens. And then lo and behold, he scored.
He scored. There was a delay in the crowd. It's like, oh yeah, it's gone in. Is it offside? No, it counts. Hurrah.
Great ball from Graham Dorans. And you know, he is growing into this. So we had him and Johnny Houston holding again. Okay with that?
Tessie's going to find it difficult to get back in, isn't he?
Is he?
I think so. Those two are playing really well. You can't drop either of them.
I think the difference, I think A. Dorans has found his level, and he's one of these many players that Norwich have got who are really good in the Championship but not quite good enough for the Premier League. I think the difference between Dorans, Housen and Tetti is just a bit more forward thinking, and I mean that literally. I think that Tetti sometimes can slow the game up a bit too much. He sometimes can make a negative sideways or backward pass. Don't get me wrong, absolutely rate him to bits. ironically, that might serve us better in the Premier League than the Championship, which is just about getting the ball forward. So I think that with Dorans and Housen, you get just a bit more of that directness. I mean, Dorans should be so good for us. You just look at what it was like at West Brom, you know, the 15 goals he got in one season. I mean, we're starting to finally see a bit of that come through.
I think the key with this is going to be him having a run in the side. So hopefully he doesn't come straight out of Newcastle, but I think he does need that run. I think he's had the pre-season injury and he was in, he says, the best shape he'd been for ages before that. So it's now been 3-4 games and at 490 minutes in 2 weeks. Hopefully that's gonna come, and he is having a growing influence on things. Two fullbacks scoring, because of course Ivo Pinto scored his first ever goal to win the game right at the other end of things. His first ever goal in about 160 appearances for anyone ever.
Which, if I'd have known that, Michael, I wouldn't have put a pound on him to be last goal scorer before the game, which I did at 50-1 and walked away with £51.
No way, did you really?
I did.
What on earth prompted that?
I don't know. I assume he was the very last Norwich player on the odds selection.
Of course he was. He'd never scored a professional goal before.
I really should. It's good I don't do my homework, because I was really surprised by that, because he's such an attack-minded player. I mean, when he joined Norwich, most people, kind of one observation was it was good that we signed a defender who can't defend. So I just couldn't believe that in all those games he'd never scored. And I was a doubly happy man on Saturday night. Thank you, Ivo.
I can't believe that. Yeah, it stuck in my mind when Norwich signed him that they'd signed this attacking fullback who had never scored a goal. And then to do that there and then, and it was an accomplished finish. Some would say he should maybe be taking penalties from here on in.
From the Barkley, we weren't sure whether he meant it or not, but having seen it again, he clearly did. So I can't remember the last time both fullbacks scored for Norwich in a game, but if they ever have, it's one for your column.
Yeah, one for my column. Yeah, I'll work it out on the way back from Newcastle, probably. So that rounded everything off. In the middle, of course, we had this bizarre moment at the start of the second half. You know, Russell Martin shanks his clearance after 10 seconds as then proper Keystone Kops defending, which there was
sleepy
a bit
time.
Through the game.
Sleepy time.
It just didn't woke up, did they? They weren't awake at all and Burton took advantage of it.
The funny thing is, Norwich do traditionally, I think, under Neil, they start the second half quite well. And I normally think that's...
Oh, do you think?
I do, because I normally think that's because they've just been given a massive rollicking.
You really think that? I think it's a trend that they start... I actually wrote it today. I think there's a trend where they do seem to start the second half quite slowly.
Maybe.
Have to work it out.
Yeah, I probably trust your judgment more than mine, Michael.
Well, I know that they've conceded more last season in the Premier League, which I know is not necessarily the best comparison. They conceded more goals in the first 15 minutes of the second half than at any time in the first half. There we go.
I bow down to you, but I just know from playing, and all of us probably know from playing, that you can come back and kind of just be sort of not quite with it, and that's clearly sort of what happened there. You can tell.
How crucial was it that Jacob Murphy scored about 45 seconds later?
It was massive, wasn't it? Partly because we know what the Norwich City fans can be like. You know, it won't take long before they're something. Hang on a sec, we're drawing with Burton at home here. All is not well with my world. I'm going to start getting harumphy and moany and whingy rather than singing. It was brilliant to see him score another goal. Absolutely superb.
Was your wife still celebrating when that went in?
Yeah, didn't get much time to celebrate, to be fair. I think so, probably. On the inside, she kept it well within herself.
Yeah, Jacob Murphy now has 5 goals in 10 Norwich City appearances in his career. I know it's a better record than that this season. These guys, you watch them play and you start thinking about, you know, when you'd see Craig Bellamy coming through and you're like, God, this guy's a talent, and Dean Ashton as well. This guy, they can go as high and as far as they want. I'm starting to feel that about the Murphys now.
I think there is another comparison, and it didn't quite work out as well, but I remember Chris Martin coming onto the scene a bit like this as well, because it's that I think the thing with the Murphys when they played previously and with Josh is they hadn't quite looked like they're physically strong enough. And I remember Chris Martin came in and it was like, God, this kid's only, what, 18, 19? Look how strong he is. And he scored 7 goals in, I think, his first 15 games. And I know he didn't quite soar to the top, but I think that's a good comparison. They don't look out of place now at all, do they, Pete?
Well, they've definitely beefed up, I think. I noticed when they came back this summer, you looked at them and thought, well, there's a lot more of them now.
I think if Brady carries on with his loss of form, then I wouldn't be surprised to see both Murphy start going.
Is Brady out of form? Is he? Yeah. Do you think he was that bad?
I thought he was anonymous on Saturday, even before the penalty. Mm-hmm. He's just not hit the heights he was last season. I don't know if that's because the Euros or He's playing the Championship. I don't think he's impressed this season.
The other thing to remember is there was only one player who played all 390 minutes in the last 7 days, and that was Robbie Brady. I came out of the ground going, God, Brady's must be fit. You know, well done on him for being in all three games. He's not been as good for Norwich as we know he can be consistently, that's for sure.
That's it. I think it's because of the way he played last season. We're all expecting that again, and it hasn't happened for one reason or another at the moment. But
it's funny how people see the games differently, Pete, because I have no issue with how Brady played, and I think a lot of good work was done down the left on Saturday, and I love it when him and Olsen play together. I think they're our best left-sided pairing for several years, really seem to know each other's game.
Yeah, I know when he's played at left back, that's not his position, so you can't really count those games, but he's now in his natural position. I just expected more from him. Maybe I'm expecting too much.
No, but that's really interesting, because I would say that he's not at the level he was last season, or certainly the first half of last season, because I think he wasn't quite at it for the second half of last season. I don't think he's quite there. I don't have any issue with his effort in general. He seems to get around the pitch pretty well, although I thought he did look a little bit leggy on Saturday. I suppose you have to put yourself in Robbie Brady's shoes, and he had the most incredible summer at the Euros, and now he's having to go back to, or you know, adjusting to a season in the Championship, which I don't think he's ever had, has he? Because he was in the Premier League with Hull, he was in with Manchester United before that. I'm sure he had some loans, but this is the first time he's been at a club in the Championship. So there's probably a bit of an adjustment there. And I mean, he missed his penalty, which was brilliantly saved by John McLaughlin, I thought, as opposed to Wes Houlihan's the previous week. Great save. And he, you know, had this smile on his face as a reaction. So I guess you laugh or cry at something like that. And he does seem to be enjoying himself out on the pitch. But I wonder if it's kind of, I'm enjoying this because I'm playing football and it's the Championship, so I should be pretty good. And there's that sort of element to it in part.
I think that in general, there looks like there's quite a good team spirit at the minute. Anyway, it's something I was going to say, that it looks like they're all getting behind each other and getting behind the manager, and perhaps the Murphy kid, I think the Murphy's coming through has helped with that as well, when you can sort of sense that players are really chuffed to see that things are going well for them, probably because they're good kids as well.
Of course, he did stick a free kick into the wall, didn't he, Robbie Brady, which he normally gets over the wall in a green shirt. And I feel at this point we should mention James Maddison's free kick in the injury time for Rangers at the weekend, which helped Aberdeen to a 2-1 win over the Scottish Giants. Probably one of the best free kicks I've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
Couldn't have put it any more in the corner, could you? It was just right on a postage stamp, as I say. But yeah, he'll be back in January, won't he? Everyone calling for him to come back, he would have just sat on the bench. He wouldn't have been ahead of Wes or Pritchard, maybe even Naismith. Get him out, get him some games and bring him back in January. And then see if he carries on the way he is, then he should walk into the Championship side, because that's what Scottish Premier League level is, really. So I've got no problems with him being over there and doing well. It's just that he wouldn't have got into this Norwich side, and you want him playing games.
Which is exactly what Alex Neil has said, to be fair, isn't it? And it's where you use that loan system well, because you're right, if he comes back in January and we need a bit of, say for instance, you know what happens at Christmas, games come thick and fast, suddenly we get a couple of injuries, you know, Wes Houlihan isn't getting any younger. If he comes back and he's flying, then he could be a massive asset for Norwich City, like a new signing, as the cliche goes. But
well, he wouldn't be, literally. We haven't seen him properly yet.
Yeah, if he was knocking around the under 20 whatever's every other week, then he would have to have 5-6 weeks to get up to speed, wouldn't he? So it's potentially a really good call.
This is the problem we're going to have, though, if he does this every week on Twitter. Bring him back now. Why did he leave?
We can't physically.
Do know that Norwich fans have a history of getting better the less they play for Norwich City, don't they?
Well, it'll be a very interesting dynamic come January, given that we're still not seeing Stephen Naismith anywhere near a League 18. And if James Maddison, they'll have a whole month to look at him, even if they do decide to send him out again. So what a player it looks like Norwich have on their hands, sort of from a distance. Anyway. Right. I tell you what, let's hear from Ivo Pinto, shall we? Good on, Ivo. Away you go.
Well, Ivo, it's nothing like an easy game, is there, at Carrow? But it's another great win, and you guys are flying at the moment.
Yeah, I think five games, five wins, I think is very important. As I already said in some interviews before, there are no easy games in this league as well. To be honest, I think we didn't have a good day, but in the end we made a victory 3-1 at our place, which is great for us.
And you had to match them, didn't you? You had to match Burton at what they do well, which is the sort of the fight and the effort and the effort they put in on the pitch.
Yeah, you know, when in some games you will not play very good, so when the things are not coming, you have to fight more to embrace the game, to try to get the 3 points. That is the most important thing, because after 1 week nobody will remember the way you play. You will remember the 3 points, and this day was very important because of that. In the end, we get 3 points. And we can face the next week with bigger happiness, I'd say.
It's a big week coming up. But we've got to talk about your goal. Now, is that the first goal you've scored as a professional?
Yeah, it is indeed.
So you must have had a long time to think about that goal celebration.
To be honest, no. But I'm really happy that happened in this stadium against this fantastic crowd. These supporters have been amazing to me. And I think it came in a good time to our team.
So when you were played in, what was going through your mind? You took it very coolly, I thought.
Yeah, it was. I was just looking for my wife, but it was hard to see her. So yeah, I think it was good. Great pass from Josh, and in the end, I just looked to the goal and it was inside.
And just finally, it is a big week coming up. We've got two huge games really, and Newcastle. That's going to be pretty tasty, isn't it?
Yeah, but when you have in your back five games as we have, I think we can search the next game with more confidence. I think with the squad we have, with the players we have, I think everything is possible. If we do our job, if we have a good day as well, I think we can win the game. Why not? We are in top in the league. Why not keep that?
Thank you, Ivo.
Thank you.
Okay, so as we've touched on, it's a big week ahead. Norwich City are top of the league at the moment, although by all accounts they may well not be top of the league when they head to St James's Park on Wednesday, because there's a full, everyone else basically plays on the Tuesday night. So Newcastle and then Wolves away on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff. It's going to be a big old week, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, really tough games. We know that traditionally we don't travel well to either Newcastle or Wolves, actually, do we? But you don't know what you're going to get, and I think if we can get 4 points out of these two games, we'll be delighted. It's fair enough to say, isn't it?
I mean, probably take two. Well, the irony is, I'd sit here and say take one, two draws, but if you won one and lost one, you'd be better off.
Yeah.
Six points. 6 points, Pete. Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. Which is the tougher game?
It's got to be Newcastle. You don't know what Wolves or Newcastle. I mean, Wolves have been pretty useless at times this season.
It's so erratic.
Well, they're managed by a goalkeeper, and I don't want to get all kind of.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to get goalkeeperist. But can you name any really successful? You're going to come up with a list now. Who can name any really successful goalkeepers who make managers? I can name one who didn't. Bless him. He's got no hair, but he don't care.
That's a good shout.
I just think that that was a strange appointment. So Mike Pete's come up with one.
Was Mike Walker a goalkeeper?
He was, yeah, great shout. There you go.
Where is he now?
He's no, on his pot
not,
of money.
I'm not dissing the legend that is Mike Walker. But if that's the best we can come up with in a combined 60 odd years of following football, then I think my case is proven, Your Honour.
If anyone out there can think of a great goalkeeper or a goalkeeper that went on to become a great manager anywhere in football, and save us the time of Googling it, then let us know, because the Twitter handle @Pinken. It's a good discussion. It's a good discussion point. Walter Zenger, though, he did well when he came down here for Inter.
He did, but he was a goalkeeper then, not a manager.
But that is also true. It was a good goalkeeper.
Being in goal on Saturday, that's kind of irrelevant. And hopefully will be in goal on Saturday, because that probably would help. I think if we can get a draw on Wednesday, I'll be happy. And then let's go to Wolves and try and win that game.
Put it into context, Wolves have spent a lot of money. They've got new owners. They've got some cracking players that they've signed. So it may be that over the course of the season, they will get better. At the same time, Walter Zenger's been at some clubs where he's been paid quite a bit of money and not really had as much success. He's been all over the place. I think 16 countries he's managed in, because he's a goalkeeper, clearly. Or he was. So there we go. Newcastle, we know all about Newcastle. They can blitz aside if they feel like it at this level quite easily. And then, of course, off the back of beating QPR 6-0, they went on and lost to Wolves. I'll get it out in the end. So, Newcastle.
Yeah, they're pre-season favourites, weren't they? And we know what happened there last year. this could be the toughest game for us, I think, all season.
But it's not on Sky or on a television channel of people's choice.
I'd be surprised if someone somewhere in the world wasn't covering it, and I would imagine people will know what that means. So I would have thought that it was probably on live somewhere. No, do not stream. It's illegal. You're not allowed to do it. Right, I think we better wrap this up, hadn't we? I kind of hope Norwich don't go to St James's Park as leaders. There's something about probably the fan of me that doesn't want that to happen, but there we go. Me and Paddy will, of course, be there at St James's Park, so you can follow all the build-up and the live coverage, text coverage, at pinken.com/live, and we'll have all the fallout as well. And hopefully another podcast in between the two games, but if not, we'll certainly be back after Wolves, which is an international break. So it'll be very interesting to see where Norwich are at that stage. Of course, 2 years ago, I think they were top of the league heading into the international break, but having lost at home to Charlton, and then they went on to win only one game out of 10. So just in case anyone out there is getting a little bit too excited, because as Alec Neil said, if there's a negative, I'll find it. So that's all the stuff. Dave, Pete, thank you for joining us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you on the other side. Bye for now.